Hey everybody, this is Pep and Keish. It's been a minute.
What's going on, guys?
Since we've been on our podcast, but so much has happened. But we thank you so much for your patience.
Yeah.
And being able to just know that we're still here helping other couples, being able to work on their relationship.
Absolutely.
And communication, and just dealing with personality clashes, unrealistic expectations, and especially when you're talking and telling us that, you know, the dating relationship could be, you know, not as stable as you would want it to be. When we start talking to our couples and they tell us that their relationship is somewhat rocky, we start asking them questions kind of to dig deeper, to ask them, you know, what is really going on, you know, from their perspective. And we're starting to understand what, Pap?
It's a lot of times, you know, it's both parties see the relationship in from different vantage points. You know,
yes.
We talk to the guys and they see one way, and we talk to the young ladies and they see it another way.
Correct.
And by them filling out the information to say, okay, well, how do you see a relationship? If they both say somewhat rocky, we need to hear from both sides.
Correct.
Because we know we're not going to hear the same exact reasoning. Correct. For saying that your relationship is somewhat rocky. So we always like to get both points across, reference to hearing from the guys and, you know, the young ladies. So when they see someone rocky, we don't jump to a conclusion and say, oh, it's this, that, and the other. We want to hear from them.
Correct.
To find out why they say what it is.
Because sometimes it's like you said, they say it is, you know, unrealistic expectations is really huge. Where, you know, we may ask as women, you know, we have a lot of things that we think about. We're planners, you know, as moms, we think so much in a far ahead of time. And our partners are not always like that. You know, they expect us to trust them. They expect us, when we ask them to do something, to know that it's going to, you know, manifest, that it, you know, they're going to be able to, take care of it. And it's very hard for us, you know, based on what we've been through sometimes, and it can be a trigger for us. But we also need to make sure that we're trusting our partners, because how does that make the partner feel, Pat?
Because the thing is with that, when you, like you said earlier, it depends on the partner, really. It's their personality, it's their makeup, it's their background. What kind of person are you with? If it's a young lady that you're with and she's trusting you, she's hoping that, okay, if I give you maybe a project or something, and we agree on getting the project done, is she going to trust you to get that project done on the deadline she may set, or did you guys both may set? When you get a project, you know, you want the young lady to say, okay, we agreed on doing a project, getting it done on a certain date. Allow me to do that. You know, as long as you allow me to do that the way I want to do it, you can't expect the guy to do it the way you want it to be done. But as long as you give him, allow him the time to do it and trust that he's going to get it done, then that's how it should, you know, kind of pretty much play out. You know, you want it to get done in a reasonable amount of time, the deadline or whatever. And if it's not going to get done, I think that's when the guy needs to go to the young lady and say, okay, well, listen, this happened. This is the reason why it's going to have to be extended. You know, and that's when it comes into, If a guy misses a deadline for the project to get done, does the young lady just fly off the handle? Does she lose control? Say, I knew it wasn't going to get done. I knew it wasn't going to get done. I knew you wasn't going to make the deadline.
Correct.
But is it right for the young lady to do that?
No. I mean, it's not right for any either or to do that, because, yes, that's a knee-jerk reaction. We always talk about knee-jerk reactions. We all do it. It gets, you know, our temper gets the best of us. But think about, you know, we have to be accountable for what is causing that so much animosity. You know, our makeup may be, you know, that of, like you said, just filled with anxiety because of what we have been through,
right,
what we've experienced in our past, whether it's our childhood, you know, with our families. So it depends on your family history and your upbringing of what made you that to be that way.
Right.
And then as women, we got to realize that sometimes we need help with understanding to keep calm, to, you know, go with the flow sometimes, to be able to not set unrealistic deadlines or expectations in which we think that, oh, well, it'll be perfect if this is done, this. but our partner may not be on that same wavelength. Mm-hmm. It's one thing if your partner's like, oh, we're gonna do this right now, da 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 da. But if your partner is thinking, oh, I got time, right. You know, I
which
can
a lot
can,
of us do, though,
you know,
fellas.
I can do this, you know, and pace myself.
Yeah,
you know, you gotta know as a woman, as their partner, who they are. You know, you gotta recognize and accept their personality, that nothing's going to push them to do it any faster, even if you keep saying it every single day.
The fellas won't get it. The fellas are going to get it done. You know, allow us to get it done in,
but
our,
there are some
in
times
our time
there,
and space.
It's not getting done. So there are exceptions.
Allow us the time to mess up,
it
though.
Never gets done, and it's just one thing after another. Or but you're seeing it in other areas of your life, where people will promise you stuff and then it doesn't get done, and then you project that onto somebody else.
But that's another topic,
talk about
though,
that.
Isn't it?
Talk
isn't
about
it,
that.
Isn't that another topic if you say, okay, we're saying that we're setting aside a time for this project to get done and it gets done.
But
what
then
about
what
that?
What happens when the ladies say, oh, well, I think you could have done this earlier while you waited the last minute? That's,
well, see,
her
that's
anxiety.
That's anxiety.
That's her anxiety.
Yeah.
Putting that on the
person. Partner. Yeah, yeah.
And it's not necessarily, you know, his way of doing things, or it may not be her way of doing things, but vice versa. If you're asking me to do something as a female, and I'm like, oh, I'm going to get it done right now, da-da-da-da, mm-hmm. and then you're like, oh, well, no, you could have waited, but I'm like, well, that's not my makeup. Mm-hmm. You know, there are times where I'm not going to wait till the last minute to get stuff done because I needed to be out of the way to move on to the next. But then you're like, no, take your time. You know, you can, you know, draw it out, but it is almost impossible for somebody to do that if they're not wired that way.
But see, it's about learning your partner, though.
Correct.
You know, you have to learn your partner, number one, to know how that person operates.
Correct.
How that person moves. Because you can't expect to build this perfect person. That's what I feel like. It's like,
correct.
You're trying to build this perfect person to do what you want, how you want it, when you want it, and the way you want it done. And that's not being realistic.
Correct.
You know, do you want a person that's an individual, or do you want a so much like a clone of you?
Correct.
To say I want to be in a relationship with a clone of myself.
Very rarely do you have a clone of you.
Yeah, that's not
and
being realistic.
Sometimes you bump heads if you have somebody that's too much like you.
Exactly. So you can't win for trying.
Which gets not a point sometimes, but it's not always about winning, though.
With guys, it's about winning. Because we are winners. We are conquerors. We set out to conquer. We set out to win.
We set out
to achieve a goal. You know, women, you guys like the process of it.
Correct.
Fellas, we just focus on the goal. You know, we focus on the goal, what we got to get done. We don't care about so much the process and how it gets done or what we're going to do on Monday and Tuesday to set it up for Friday. You guys are more... What's going to happen on Monday? What's going to happen on Tuesday?
General,
what's going to happen on Wednesday?
But I do know I do know some men that are that way.
There's always exceptions.
There's always
I can say,
exceptions.
Yeah, we can say whatever we're saying.
And it can drive a woman
there's
crazy.
There's always going to be an exception to this. Well, the guy is this. The guy could be that. That's that 80-20% I'm always talking about.
Correct.
You know, when you find someone that's, you know, that in your eyes it's like, oh, he's perfect. He's the one, you know. But he's always going to have that. He's going to have 80% that you like. He's going to have that 20% where you like you don't really care too much about.
Correct.
You know? So, no, there's no perfect 100% person out there. You know?
So, how do you
that's
fight?
Unrealistic.
Like you said, so how do you fight that good fight? You know, we're always talking about, you know,
you
fighting
have to,
fairly.
Yeah. You know? Have to have a person where you're willing to put up with the 20% that you don't like enough for just counteracting with the 80% that you do like.
Correct.
You know? That's the key to finding someone that you're going to be with. If you can find that someone that you're worth, you feel that's worth putting up that 20% that you don't care for, but
correct.
The 80% is so strong and so is just so overwhelming
correct.
That you can put up that 20% that's not all the way clean and
correct.
Clean cut and perfectly edged out and things like that. So you want to be able to find that person that's the 80% is so great, so overwhelming, so
correct.
Just right for you that the 20% doesn't even matter.
Yeah, I mean, because everybody's going to make mistakes.
Of course.
You know, we found out that we have so many couples that, you know, like to harbor on those mistakes. Or,
yeah.
Well, you weren't there for me then. And
let's focus on that 20%.
And then the guy says, well, I'm here for you now. Mm-hmm. But they're still stuck on when was.
Yeah,
or
that.
What was. Yeah. And, you know, we talk about a lot, you know, when we're merging and being engaged and, like you said, learning how to love each other the way that that person wants to be loved, mm-hmm. or interact with them or talk with them a certain way, mm-hmm. it is very difficult to change,
right.
for that other person. Some right. people think, well, I don't have to change, or I shouldn't have to do this. Well, then you don't need to be in a relationship, or you don't need to be married, because, mm-hmm. you know, it's literally a compromise. Everything that we do in our relationship should be about bending and flexing and being flexible to be able to sometimes go with the flow. I mean, unless you are that type of rigid person, mm-hmm. you know, we do have some OCD folks that everything has to be ship-shaped top in a hurry. But then if the other partner isn't, there's going to be a mismatch and unequal yoke playing a huge rift in the relationship. But are you that man who's going to say, hey, I'm going to be there for you. I'm going to, you know, do what I need to do to help you to be a success. But then you got to be that woman also to say, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to be able to slowly but surely, you know, be the woman that you need me to be and give of yourself to be able to do that. It takes time to do that.
Right, because in relationships, it's about being a giver.
Correct.
It's about giving of yourself,
correct.
Of your time, of your understanding, of your
correct.
Love. Because like the word tells us, it's better to give than to receive.
Correct.
You know, a lot of people don't understand it, and it's like so hard to fathom. What do you mean it's better to give than receive?
Correct.
Everyone likes to receive. Everyone
correct.
Likes to receive the
but
gifts and the
you
love.
Giving? How much
and
are you serving?
And all this good type of things. And it's like, but you have to want to give as
correct.
Well. You know, because when you give, it's going to come back to you.
Correct.
What you're sending out, it will come back to you.
Correct.
You know, as a man soweth, so shall he reap.
Exactly.
You know, and it's like, you want to give. You want to give out the good vibes, good positivity, good kind of accolades or whatever.
Correct.
And you want to give out the good positive energy. That way it can come back into a relationship. Because if you don't, if you're so selfish and saying, well, what have
yes.
you done for me lately type deal, it's not going to end well. Because if a person feel like they're always the giver,
correct,
and you're never giving on your end, they're going to feel slighted.
Yeah.
They're going to feel like, why am I in this relationship for?
It's
one-sided.
You know, yeah, it's not going to feel like it's reciprocated. They're not going to feel like you are, you know, committed to making sure that their needs and their wants are satisfied.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know we talk a lot about that as well. You know, in our session with our Simbis, the Saving Your Marriage Before It Starts assessment,
right.
we encourage our couples to take that assessment, whether or not you're engaged or you're just in a relationship. You know, you still can benefit from taking this assessment, because it is, you know, helping you, number one, to see your different personalities, to see where you are, what your beliefs are, what your value systems are, and be able to help you to better communication. Because like you said, our training indicates, you know, communication is the lifeblood
mm-hmm.
of a relationship. And
exactly.
that Simbis literally devotes a whole chapter to doing it well.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been said that a couple's, you know, pending marriage or relationship is going to rise and fall depending mm-hmm. on how well they communicate. So our sessions help our mentorees understand the whole purpose of, you know, number one, why would you get engaged? You know,
mm-hmm.
you've got to, you know, you communicated somehow
mm-hmm.
that you wanted to be engaged, that you wanted to be, there was a reason why you wanted to be together.
Right.
So you've got to be able to, you know, see the value in learning to communicate early on, because you don't want to have that meltdown.
Right.
You don't want to get to where you're like, oh my gosh, I don't see the value of it. Why do we need to talk? Well, why wouldn't you talk?
Right.
Nobody can do well with shutting down.
Right.
We all do it. Well, for what?
Yeah,
you know, how is it going
to
help us?
Right, because what relationships have to understand, they have to know that it's going to be ebbs and flows.
Yes.
And it's not always going to be ups. It's not always going to be downs, but you have to be able to kind of like, you know, balance yourself in the middle. It's like being on the ocean.
Correct. Correct.
You know, you have some rough waters, you have some calmer waters that you're in, mm-hmm. but you have to be able to kind of balance yourself on the boat.
Correct.
Balance yourself in the relationship and be able to work together to say, okay, mm-hmm. if I'm allowing us to stay balanced.
Correct.
And then you're allowing your partner to help keep that balance. That's going to make for a greater relationship.
Correct.
It's going to make for a better relationship, a healthier relationship.
So I want to share the bedrock of successful communication based on all of the things that we studied about. It says good communication is built first on who we are and only later on what we do. Speak about that in your words.
Yeah, that definitely helped. I mean, as far as what you say, as far as it's about your background, how you were raised, how you were brought up, how your family kind of molded you into the person that you are.
Correct.
You know, that's why it's good to know your partner. What's their background? How did they grow up? What's their history? Because a lot of times, if you talk to your partner and find out their history, mm-hmm. you can better understand why they are the way they are.
Yes.
You know, and a lot of times, if you're like, I don't understand him, I don't understand her, it's because you haven't really done any background check. You know, some like a relationship background check.
We learn something new every day.
Absolutely.
Because we all have to find out
who your partner is. Where did they come from? Where did they get started?
That's the only way you'll know if you'll stay together.
How were they raised? Were they raised by, you know, the one parent? Were they raised by two parents? Were they raised in the city? Were they raised in the country? What did they do when they grew up? What the experiences, like you said? And when you get to know that information, you can, you know, kind of get to know a person a lot better.
Yeah, it helps you to have a better understanding.
Absolutely.
So we talk about what are three personal qualities that you feel like that must be present for understanding in a relationship?
I mean, you got to have trust.
Okay.
You got to have, I would say, patience.
Yes.
You got to have understanding.
Okay.
You know, those three things will definitely go far in a relationship.
So I'm like you said, I'm a little more personable. I think that three personal qualities that must be present for understanding to take place mm-hmm. is warmth, mm-hmm. authentic, genuineness, mm-hmm. and empathy to go along with your understanding, to go along with your trust. Mm-hmm. I think that, you know, from a female point of view or softer side, like you say, we always are aggressive, assertive, right. Like you said, want to get our point across.
That's true.
But, you know, we talk about agape love and Christ love for us, you know, right. as Christians, we do have to sometimes dial it back a notch mm-hmm. and have a, like you said, come to Jesus moment to mm-hmm. know that Christ wouldn't be like this.
Yeah.
You know, we have to be more gentle and, you know, how we address our partner and how we talk with them and walk with them, because God wouldn't do that to us. Mm-hmm. You know, we would not, you know, be good disciples and, you know, good children of God if we continue to be at each other's throats and, you know, live for that tiff, you know, wanting to always, you know, be in discord. Mm-hmm. So what's the point of being on one accord and being as one if we are always trying to be that individual? We're always trying to be that person who is just at each other's throat and at odds.
Right.
You know, yes, we, you know, some of us do thrive off of that, but it doesn't mean that it's always right. Mm-hmm. It's good to be competitive at times. It's good to have, you know, some type of camaraderie, but then it's also good to be able to just be still. Mm-hmm. Like you said, the word says, be still and know that I am God. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in those moments of meditation, you will hear from him and you'll understand what is right for your relationship. You know, like you said, if you don't believe in something, you'll believe and fall for anything. Mm-hmm. So if nothing else, you'll know that communication is the stronghold as well as, you know, your belief system mm-hmm. and God, to know that that is what you need to keep your relationship together.
Yeah.
So it would behoove you, word of the day, behoove you to spend a lot of time on developing your communication.
Yeah.
You can't spend a lot of time developing the communication if you don't spend a lot of time together. Mm-hmm. And that is a key to be able to find moments to sneak in. If you have a busy life, it's okay. But to find moments where you can steal away to, you know, find a little bit about that person.
And also, too, when you spend time together, you have to be able to communicate. You want to be able to talk.
Be fellas, in the moment.
Fellas, you can't just say, I was spending time with her, but I'm just here. You can't just be here. You got to, like you just said, be in the moment, yes. Be present.
Be emotionally there.
Be emotional there.
That's what we mean is being emotionally
You're
there.
You're physically there, but you got to be emotionally there. And I know when we hear emotional, fellas, we just cringe, I'm sure.
Correct.
But
we're going to find another word for that.
We have to give of ourselves.
Correct.
Be vulnerable.
Correct.
Be open. You know, those things, those words make the fellas feel a little uneasy.
I know.
But it's something that if you want to make that relationship work, or if you're really into that person, yeah. You don't mind being vulnerable.
Exactly.
You don't mind being open. You don't mind opening up and saying, okay, this is how you feel. This is
Correct.
How you would like things to go. Because that's the key to it. If you could communicate
yes.
and let a person know what you want out of a relationship,
yes.
that's almost half the battle. Because you don't want to get in a relationship where it's like, well, I didn't know you felt like that. I didn't know you wanted that.
But did
I didn't
you
know
ask,
you expected that.
Did you spend enough time with me
That's
to observe?
That's the communication key. Right.
To watch me, just nonverbal, you know, communication, mm-hmm. body language. Were you paying attention, you know, when I was spiral out of control?
Absolutely.
And you just thought, oh, well, she just wilding out. Well, mm-hmm. why am I wilding out?
Mm-hmm.
How am I able to talk with you without, if you're not, like you said, paying attention? Or I'm asking you for options to pay attention, but yet you shut down every time I want to talk.
Exactly.
Or I shut down whenever you want to talk. There has to be a common ground where you say, you know what, time out, flag
yeah.
on the play.
Yeah.
You know, we got to find ways to gentle and ease ourselves into talking. It's nothing right. wrong with talking.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot be afraid to confront those difficult things. You know, that's why we start, like you said, sessions with prayer and end with prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Because we want to ease it on in and we want to set the atmosphere. So mm-hmm. there's ways that, yes, you've got to set the atmosphere so
exactly.
that you're not still upset or you're not throwing things at each other and just going crazy.
Right.
Number one, because you want to get to that place where you're in a chill mode mm-hmm. that you can confidently and quietly discuss whatever issue was at hand. Mm-hmm. To see the vulnerability of each other.
Right. It's definitely a give and take.
It's a give and take.
Mm-hmm. It's definitely
know?
A give and take.
It's
because
okay.
you have to want to yeah. give and you have to be able to receive.
Correct.
You know, because no relationship is just by yourself. You're not, no man's
right.
an island.
Correct.
And you have to be able to give as well as receive. You know, if you receive a breakdown of who the person says you are.
Correct.
Don't be so quick to be offensive. Don't be quick to be offended. Or be in defensive mode
Correct.
when they say something to you. Just be willing to accept it and be willing to talk it through, talk it out, to find out why they say what they said.
Exactly.
You know, so it's...
So the last point I want to make for our listeners is just setting up the rules for successful communication. So nearly all of our important communication tools can be reduced to literally 5 basic skills.
Mm-hmm.
So number one, make I statements and not you statements. What does that sound like?
Yeah, that's definitely key. I mean, because everyone wants to put the blame on the other person if it's not. If it's an argument, they want to say, well, you did this, you were the cause of this, or you shouldn't have did this, or you shouldn't have did that.
Mm-hmm.
No, you want to reverse that, like you said. I should have taken more time to listen.
Correct.
I should have taken time more to assess the situation.
Mm-hmm.
I should have taken more time to sit down in a calmer atmosphere.
That's hard.
You know? So you want to put yourself in it where you take accountability.
Yes.
You want to be accountable for your actions, you know. And you just want to put the blame on anyone else. That's
Correct.
When you say taking the you out and put it in the I in.
Yes.
I could have done this better. I should have taken these steps to make it better.
Or I feel.
I feel.
We gotta use
right.
our feel statements
right.
sometimes.
I feel that it should have been done this
I
way.
I believe.
Yes, definitely. Definitely. I believe it could have been handled a lot smoother.
To keep it general.
A lot easier.
Yes.
So you want to, you know, kind of stop pointing the fingers and say, okay, what could I have done better?
Correct. So the second one is practice reflective listening.
Mm.
We don't always want to reflect
mm-hmm.
on what we're hearing.
Mm-hmm.
We don't always want to reflect on what we're listening to. But the mm-hmm. same way we reflect on old school music or,
mm-hmm.
you know, gospel track, we reflect on what they're saying.
Mm-hmm.
If we can do that with a song to break down them lyrics
mm-hmm.
and break down the scripture, then we
right.
can do that with another person.
Of course.
You know,
course.
So there is no excuse why, you know, we can't break down and try to get a better understanding and be reflective mm-hmm. instead of being defensive, mm-hmm. you mm-hmm. know, or deflective. We have to be reflective so that we can reflect on what we're listening to, reflect on what our partner is saying before we try to deflect, mm-hmm. before we try to be defensive and put that guard back up.
Right.
To say, oh, I'm not hearing this. Well, mm-hmm. that is an issue.
Yeah.
You know, that is keeping you, putting a barrier back up to just, it's easier and better for you to just confront what's going on
yeah.
versus avoiding what's going on. Because the longer you do it, the more you're going to have miscommunication.
A lot of times the guys do that a lot. They avoid mm-hmm. as best as they can to have that conversation, mm-hmm. to have that confrontation. You know, they don't want to. They don't want to say, okay, they don't want to hear these words. Baby, we need to talk.
Correct.
You know, baby, we need to talk means, oh, I done messed up again. I done done something. I done done something wrong.
Not
oh, my goodness. I'm going to say 99.1%.
No, it's not. I'll say 75%.
I may be exaggerating with the numbers
yes,
a little bit.
Based
but
on
yeah.
your experience.
Based on the fellas' experiences.
We
can talk about fellas. We feel like,
own
I'm going to speak
it,
for the fellas.
It.
We feel like,
not all fellas will feel that way.
That we are always in trouble on the hot seat in the
You're
front
not
row.
Always on the hot seat.
When the young lady comes to us saying, baby, we need to talk. We need to discuss. Oh, Lord.
I disagree.
If we had a turtleneck on, our turneck would be all the way up over my head.
I disagree.
Oh, I'm sure you do.
I'm
sure you would disagree because you're the one saying, baby, we need to talk.
Correct. So that's why it brings me to point three. Understand Uh-oh. And accept the differences between men and women.
That is a, oh my God, we could be here all night talking
exactly.
about that. That's going to be a, oh my
exactly.
God. That's going to be a discussion
and
where.
Accept the differences.
Ooh, yes, we are.
Because
different.
Y'all always going to assume,
oh, yeah.
generalize it, always going to assume based on women's, you know, opinions mm-hmm. that the men are going to be like, oh my gosh, I don't want to talk because I already know what she's going to say.
But then you just
like,
say
you
earlier.
Don't always know what I'm going to say.
Didn't you just say earlier? But there are some men that yeah. won't
some,
do that.
So the exception.
It's always the exception, right, fellas?
But there are some women that
yeah.
won't do that.
Well,
so
it's exception
if
to
we
rule.
Take away the assumption
yeah.
and the unrealistic expectation that mm-hmm. we know what they're going to say before they say it,
yeah.
no matter how many times you've been down this thing,
oh, yeah.
people can change.
Yeah, we are different.
People
that's
can
the bottom
change.
Line. We are different. And that's the thing. Can we get along with our differences?
Yes.
You know, can we deal with our differences?
You
men
agree,
are different.
Agree,
women
disagree.
Are different. We're
Correct.
Never going to be the same. So
Correct.
We've been here long enough to know that men are different than women and
Correct.
Vice versa. So let's come to the table and say, how do you feel about this? How do I feel about
Correct.
That? And let's meet in the middle. Compromise, like we said
exactly.
earlier. You got to compromise. You got to be patient. You
got
to be warm. You got to be understanding. You
yes.
got to be, you know, you got to be empathetic. So
yes.
you want to be able to do those things in order to communicate.
Exactly. So our next point is, I'm so sorry for any differences that I had as a woman. The next one is apologize
oh,
when necessary.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
we
yeah.
We have to apologize. We cannot be so prideful that we cannot apologize when we need to.
Yeah, you got
to
apologize.
You know your conscience is telling you you did something wrong. There are times when you may not think you did anything wrong. Your partner will. You have to apologize just because.
And let me ask you this. Who apologizes more in a relationship? Ooh, the man?
The woman.
Or the woman?
The woman.
Oh, you would need to cut it out.
The
oh,
woman.
My goodness. Fellas, you know we're the most apologetic person on earth
well, you know,
when it comes to relationships.
Most of us are mothers, you know, so we are apologizing always for everything that goes on because we feel
oh,
like we
man.
Carry the world when it comes to rearing, when it comes to, you know, getting things, you know, taking care of the home. So we do tend to feel like we're apologizing for everything.
So
what's
some of the examples that you apologize for? I want to hear this.
Some examples that I did not address the issue right, or I snapped, you know, made an assumption about something, or you know, made, you know, just like you said something too quickly when
oh,
I should
wow.
have, you know, kind of waited to respond.
Now, are most women able to admit that?
No,
I didn't think so. So how is that being
But that's why we go through these sessions.
Oh, you want them. You want them to be apologetic.
That's why we go through these sessions.
I was about to say, fellas.
That's why, you know, both of sides, men what? And women, need to apologize when necessary.
Well, we guys got it down to a T. We got it down to...
You are talking generalization. Because on a scale of 1 to 10, women will say that men don't apologize as often as they feel like they need to.
Give me an
example of why you would apologize.
Oh, we always apologize. I'm apologizing, baby. I'm sorry I'm late. I knew I was going to say I was coming on 5:30, but it's 5:31.
But that's on you. But, you know, you should have came on time. I apologize. Like you
see, now that's what we get, fellas. And that's how, when they come back at you like that, that's what's our response. Well, I did tell you I was going to be late. I mean, you know, you still getting on me about being late.
Did you really? Did you really say you was going to be late? Did you really text me, tell myself, OMW, on my way?
Because last time when I didn't text you,
but then that was 2 hours
before. I knew you were going to get on me about that.
So everybody's situation is different. Of course. And expectations are different. So, so you already know by studying your partner.
Of course.
And you already know the previous history.
Yes.
Well, I need to let, you know, Keisha know X, Y, and Z. Or I need to be consistent with, you know, informing her X, Y, and Z.
And being that I didn't do that, baby, guess what? I apologize.
Yeah. Okay. So that's a prime example. So it brings me to the last point. Of rules for successful communication, and then we'll end it out, is communicate through touch.
Mm.
A lot of people don't like touch. You know, we're in a world where this, you know, COVID's ending, but it's not ending. And y'all still don't want you touching me, you know, X, Y, and Z, or I'm upset or my feelings, and I don't want to be touched. How do you communicate through touch with somebody who don't want to be touched?
Now, that's the opposite. The fellas love to touch. We love to touch. We want hands on all the time.
Average, yeah.
All the time. It's the ladies that say, "Don't touch me." What's that? Don't touch me.
Yeah, they have triggers.
I'm not in the mood for that. No. Yeah. I ain't trying to be hugged. I'm not trying to be comfortable. I'm not trying to be.
But then the majority of the women do want to be. You know, they do want to be touched. And we've been feel like you said, working with couples where the man doesn't. Touch.
And why is that? Because the woman have pushed him away so many times that when he wanted to touch, she's pushing him away.
Or they're dealing with other things.
At the time she wants,
now
when she wants to come back and be touched, she's like, "Nah, you've been pushing me away too long. I'm good."
But at the end of the day, there's always a trigger.
It's triggers and a lot of that stuff.
Needs to be healed from.
Yeah.
So if you try to touch somebody, you what do you need to do then?
Yeah, now you're talking that type of trigger that the person is kind of like uneasy, uncomfortable in that sort of situation. Then we have to, that's what I'm saying. Do the background check. Find out what's going on in your past, what happened in the past.
You can't just sit there and be like, "Oh, I don't know why she don't let me touch her." And then go out and touch somebody else.
True. That's why you got to talk to your partner. You got to find out, okay, baby, what's the problem? That should have been addressed when you guys were dating, number one. You got to kind of find out who she is. Or who he is when you guys are dating. That's why communication is so key.
But what if there is no dating? You just jumped into the marriage. Well, you know, you had a baby. You know, now life is happening. And you still just now getting to this.
If you just get into what, touching?
Start dating out of the blue. You know, people think dating is overrated. So, you know.
Well, if you've done that, if you jumped into a situation where you haven't touched, you haven't really found out who the person is, you have to
Now is the time.
Now is the time to talk, communicate, find out who that person is, because you're getting to know that person in a new marriage.
Yes.
In a new relationship. So if you waited to a marriage to find out who the person is,
that's
then it's
tough.
Definitely up to you to find out, who did you marry?
On both sides.
Who did you get involved with? So
you're like, "I didn't sign up for this." Well, actually you did.
You did sign up for this.
So now it's time to do the work to find out about their personality, what their likes are, what their wants are, what they need. And if you need help, that's why we have the Simbish assessment.
Because we can help make it work with that.
Yeah. And you know, like you said, we're not gonna beat you over the head. At the end of the day, it's up to you to wanna do the work. But we're here as marriage mentor coaches to be able to do that. Mm-hmm. And we're not perfect, guys. We have some of this. You hear us on this is us all the time.
Definitely.
So at the end of the day, we don't know it all, but we're willing to, you know, continue to pray, you know, that God covers us, mm-hmm. to give us a direction, to be able to, you know, work together and to be on one accord. Absolutely. But we're using these resources to save your marriage before it starts to be able to encourage our other couples.
Absolutely.
So that we can prevent the divorce rate. We've been through it. Mm-hmm. So we know, and we're very relatable. So if you're ready for a session, definitely give us a call. 301-643-5484. Or check us out online on www.relationshipsmatterintl.com. So once again, I'm going to ask Pep to just pray for our couples out here so that we can cover all of you in every situation that you're going through. We want to know that we are here for you. We are here as a resource. And like you said, we want to help, you know, get that better communication, get that better love, start dating, start paying attention to each other, and start touching those sensitive areas that nobody wants to confront. So with that said, Pep, lead us out.
Lord, but thank you on today. Thank you, Lord, for this great conversation we had today, just talking about bettering our couples, bettering relationships, putting ourselves in the back seat, put someone else in the front seat, giving, being more of givers and more of being attentive to other person's needs. Lord, for we know that you are the ultimate giver. We thank you again for giving us your son who died on the cross for our sins. We thank you again for just showing us the way, teaching us how to treat people, how to love one another, how to care for one another. And we thank you, God, for these relationships out here, Lord, to just be stronger, to be better. Lord, to just put you first in all that they do. Now, all that we do, we put you first in all things because we know that you are the director. You guide us along. You help us along the way. You set the road before us. And we just pray next, Lord, you continue to lead out, guide our feet, put our best efforts first. And we just pray next, Lord, you continue to bless us, protect us from any hurt, harm, or danger. Allow us to grow stronger in you because we know that when we put you first, all things will fall into place. We thank you again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. All right. That gets us all through this time. So till next time, guys, we are Relationship Matters with Pep and Keish. And we're signing off. Laugh to keep from crying.
Yes.
We'll see you next time.
See you next time, guys.